Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and today my guest is Jake Keel. He's an environmental innovator whose efforts in the Dominican Republic with the Grupo Punta Cana Foundation have won numerous awards and made the country's tourism more competitive and environmentally sustainable. Jake directs the Center for Sustainability, a think tank, partnering with renowned universities to conduct environmental research and helped pioneer one of the Caribbean's largest coral reef restoration projects. Jake frequently speaks at international conferences, including TEDx, Santo Domingo. He's been widely published, including the Huffington Post, Luxury Hotel Magazines, and Harvard's Revista. You can visit Jake at jakekeel.com. It is my pleasure to welcome Jake to our show today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, wow, Dominican Republic, is it nice there right now, I'm guessing?
Actually, it's one of the few rainy days we've had in a number of weeks, so today is a good day to be inside speaking with you.
That is awesome. So we're going to dive right in and just have a fun interview. What I'd like to start out with is just sort of fill in the gaps of this bio and tell us a little bit about your journey and how you came to be doing the work you're doing today.
Well, thank you. So my background, just even from when I was a young kid, was just a real passion for being outside and being out in nature. You know, my brother and I grew up in South Florida and we spent a lot of time outside in the swamps. And then we moved to Massachusetts as we got a little bit older and we were basically outside all the time. And so I was just like most kids, just loved being outside and in nature. And then at a certain point I realized and, you know, got some more information on some of the threats that the environment was facing. You know, back in the old days, we talked about just endangered species and the ozone depletion and contamination and air pollution. Nowadays, we talk a lot more about climate change and major biodiversity extinction. So these were things that really opened my eyes. You know, I could just continue to be in love with nature and spend all my time outside, or I could really dig into some of these big challenges that the environment is facing and try and do something about it. And so that was the approach I took. I mean, I still love being outside. I love, being scuba diving and going hiking in the mountains. But really my passion and my commitment is how can I do something about solving some of these major challenges? And so I ended up studying the environmental science. I got a master's in environmental management and sort of always imagined my career and my job would be, working for one of these major environmental organizations or working for, the government in the United States, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or something like that. And I got the opportunity in 2005, 16 years ago now, to work for a private company in the Dominican Republic as their environmental director and now the vice president of the sustainability. And it was really just a completely mind-blowing experience that companies could have a positive role. And that's really been, I think, the major realization I've had during my career and has been really part of my journey is, how do we protect the environment and what can my role be, but really from the perspective of private companies.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things that some of the, and even for individuals listening, what are some of the things that people can do to really make an impact on the environment and the challenges that it has? I think a lot of people singly feel, what difference can they really make? I hear a lot of people having that conversation.
Yeah, you're right. The individual actions we can take, I think it's sort of more of building the muscle memory of thinking about your personal impact and taking the environment into account and, other the impact you can have. But really the big impact that people can have is one is being politically active, being voting. If that's something you care about and being, you know, active about these issues, you know, whether you live in the Dominican Republic or you live in the United States, it really does make a big difference to speak up about issues you really care about. And in this case, the environment. And another thing we can do nowadays is really speak up about the role of companies, because we all have a tremendous buying power. We now have a huge voice and a much larger platform than ever to express the way we feel about the way companies are behaving. And we have, you know, social media, and we have so many other ways to communicate the things that we agree with or don't agree with in the practices of companies. And companies are much more conscientious of it, especially in the area that I'm working in now in the tourism industry. We are incredibly sensitive to the client's perspective and the reviews that we get on TripAdvisor and the feedback we get from clients. And so now if you have a company that's getting all kinds of pressure from its visitors, as a hotel, for example, about the types of materials they're using, whether it's plastic straws or disposable cups and paper and materials, or the way they're managing the waste around the property, or the way that the vegetation is, or the way that they use a lot of water, a lot of energy. You know, customer feedback really plays a big role in the way that hotels operate. And that is true in many businesses now. So I think as consumers, as, conscientious members of society, we have the right and we have the responsibility to really speak up and force our governments to act in ways we want them to, but also really pressuring companies to behave better. And I think you're seeing it more and more that companies do care. So I think it's important your individual actions is it's much more of a personal decision. And, the truth is that individually, we probably aren't going to solve something as challenging as the climate crisis that we're facing. But it, as a group and as communities of people, we really can push change and make it much more of a larger scale process, starting with the individual and building outwards.
Great. Tell us a little bit about how has your business and your passion shaped your lifestyle? Like how did the two integrate with each other?
Well, I really love to travel. I really love to get to know new places. And I love to, as I said, really try and do outdoor things, whether it's hiking or canoeing or kayaking or scuba diving. I think you begin to realize that, your impact is important when you visit new places. The impact you have on local communities, the impression you leave of the place you're coming from on this place you're visiting is also very important. And the way that you travel, you really can minimize your footprint in a place. So for me, in my day-to-day job is figuring out how, as a resort and as a development company, we can minimize our impact so that when our visitors come, it's a seamless experience and they don't feel like they're really treading on the local environment or they're mistreating the local people by coming on vacation to Punta Cana. And in my case, when I travel, I really try and be conscientious. When my family and I go places, we try and talk to local people. We try and learn about the local culture, experience local cuisine, get to know local music, and also really explore the local environment, but trying to do so in a way that we're not just overcrowding sites and really contributing to the degradation of the sites. And I think that can happen whether you stay at home or whether you travel. You can really be pretty conscientious about the impact and the footprint that you have as you move around.
Absolutely. So let's talk about what do you think that two of your sort of superpowers or your greatest skill sets are that have sort of contribute to your overall success?
I think one of the things my superpower is being very aware of what I don't know. And I think that is a skill a lot of people sort of gloss over. I think it's really important to have some humility, be humble about what you know and what you don't know. And I think being willing to admit that you don't know something and asking questions and finding experts or other people that are more knowledgeable than you that can help you, that can fill in some of the gaps that you have, is a really important skill. You know, that nobody knows everything. And the people that fake it a lot of times get into trouble. And so I found that it's been really useful to ask a lot of questions, to not be embarrassed to not know the answers, and be really humble about it. And I think that's it's a skill that you need to practice like any other. You know, you need to really work at it, because it's easy. You know, it's sometimes it's just faster to think you have the answer and make a decision based on what you think you know. But in the long run, a lot of times the decisions turn out to be more productive if you're listening and learning from the experience and knowledge of others.
Well, I think it's a great skill set too, because I think people, they miss so many opportunities just being afraid to ask for help. And I see this all the time in all kinds of business where people want to just take longer to figure it out on their own, and it costs them a lot of time, and which ends up being money as well, when they could have just, you know, asked for help. And there's this fear around not looking smart or not looking good enough or what people will think. And gosh, if people could just, you know, step up and just say, hey, I need some help with this, and understand that there is always going to be somebody, you always have a place to learn something, you know what I mean? And yeah, we're always in a place of learning. So absolutely, I think that's an awesome skill set.
And I think a piece of that, of, you know, really wanting to learn from others, is also trying to be a good listener. And it's harder and harder to do. You know, now we get barraged with information, and we, you know, have so many ways that we're trying to get attention, whether it's social media or anything else, that, you know, I think in general, we've become of a society that we're becoming not very good listeners. And so that's another skill, you know, that you really have to work at. And I think that's part of admitting that you don't always know something, is also really working at listening to other people.
Absolutely. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishment. Is there something that you've participated in that you're just really proud of, or that was kind of over the top for you and had a lot of meaning?
So I definitely think of myself as a team player, as someone who works well with others. And one of the traits of our organization, of the Grupo Punta Gana Foundation, is we've really honed a skill at working with others and forming partnerships. And that sounds super simple, but in the sort of business world and even in nonprofits, it can be really hard to develop functioning partnerships. And I think that's been a skill that we've done pretty well at. And one of the projects I'm most proud of is the Ridgeway Hawk Conservation Project. And the Ridgeway Hawk is a species of hawk that's only found in the Dominican Republic. And it is incredibly endangered. It's one of the most endangered birds on the planet. It was down to 200 individuals about 10 years ago. And we've got involved with the Peregrine Fund and a number of other local partners. And we offered to use our resort as a wildlife refuge for these hawks. Their population had been limited to a national park, and they were being persecuted by people and impacted by a parasite that was affecting the baby hawks. And so we offered to allow them to transplant baby hawks to our resort, where they were safer, where there wasn't the risk of people hunting them, where, you know, there was a lot of space and they could find their normal food. And then we worked really hard at figuring out how to overcome many of the obstacles that these hawks were facing. And by engaging through a private company, we also helped raise the local knowledge about the situation of these hawks. When we started, you know, over 10 years ago, no one knew anything about these hawks. Nowadays, people know a lot about the hawks, and it's become much more of a common subject. And we've brought them back from essentially the brink of extinction. In Punta Cana now, we have a population of over 120 hawks in the national park, in the central part of the Dominican Republic. That population has also recovered. We have worked on, prior to the pandemic, we worked on reintroducing them to a third site and even found a remnant population on the far other side of the island in Haiti. So this, you know, hawk conservation project has really been a pretty huge success in terms of saving the actual species, but also it's been a real good example of how important it is to work together. You know, you have a private company working with a foundation that's expert in working with birds of prey. We have other local partners, including the zoo and the local government in the Dominican Republic. And we formed this kind of unique partnership where we're all sort of doing different parts of the project. And it's been a huge success. And this is really what I imagined I would be doing with my career before I got involved in working for a private company. So it's something I'm especially proud of.
That's awesome. And I think what I liked that you said there more than anything is awareness. Like a lot of things happen with people just honestly not being aware of the situation in the first place.
Yeah, that's right. And in the case of this hawk, for example, the Ridgeway's hawk, we believe the biggest challenge, the biggest threat was human persecution. In the Dominican Republic, you have a lot of farmers. They have chickens, and chickens are, you know, a very important cultural thing for a lot of farmers. And so they protect their chickens by shooting hawks and other birds of prey. And we thought that was the primary problem they were facing, so it became an education issue. But then as we got deeper into the threats facing these animals, we found that there was also a parasite species that was affecting the chicks. We found that in many places where they had disappeared, it was because the power lines had not been set up properly to protect birds of prey. You know, in the United States, there's rules all over the United States to protect birds of prey. And so most power lines you see are hawk safe, not so in the Dominican Republic. And so we had to be very creative and figure out solutions to safeguard the power lines. We had to find strategies to protect the chicks and protect them from these parasites, and set up a laboratory to study what was causing the outbreak of these parasites. We had to work with local farmers and, you know, and develop a program of giving them cages for their baby chickens so that the hawks wouldn't be tempted to eat the baby chickens until they got large enough, and then they were safe, and working with the local farmers to figure out a lot of these issues. So, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting was done by our partners from the Peregrine Fund, but we were, you know, very proud to be sort of active contributing partners to this project.
That's awesome. So kind of the opposite of that, then let's talk about a challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
So sustainability, and that's become sort of my passion, is sort of the solution that we've come up with to confront many of these social and environmental challenges. It's this way to find this balance. But sustainability is an amazing art and science at the same time, and it's constantly evolving and changing. And so the challenge that we face in sustainability really is the way that the conditions constantly change. And so you may solve a problem for a certain amount of time before some new issue presents itself. So an example in where I work in Grupo Punta Cana, in 2007, we started an integrated solid waste management project for our resort. So that's basically the idea is separating the waste and recycling as much as you can, transforming, you know, the organic material into other materials like compost, and really just improving the overall management of the garbage. So to reduce the amount of garbage we produced, and to ensure that it was going to proper landfills once we couldn't find any other use for it. So this project was highly successful beginning in 2007. There was really nothing like it in the Dominican Republic, and certainly not in the tourism industry of the Dominican Republic. We got up to recycling and composting and diverting close to 60% of all the waste that the resort was producing at that time from the landfill into other uses. And that, you know, was a total of 25 to 30 tons a day of garbage. So it's a lot of garbage in our resort with, you know, three hotel properties and private homes and an international airport. But then all of a sudden, in 2018, one of the largest purchasers and importers of recycled material, which is China, changed their policies, and they decided that they no longer wanted to receive these materials from other countries for many reasons, and many of them valid. And that meant that much of the world all of a sudden had a big problem with recycling material because there wasn't a market for it when China was no longer accepting this material. And so that meant we all had to adapt in real time to all of a sudden having a lot more material on our hands that couldn't be recycled. And so we had to find new recyclable markets in other countries. We had to get a lot better at separating the material because one of the major issues with recycling in China was that all these countries were essentially sending garbage to China. They weren't sending, really well classified recyclable materials. And then we had to find other ways to reduce the amount of garbage that we were creating through our purchasing processes, and then find new alternatives and new technologies that we're still in many cases looking for to find new solutions for this problem of waste. This is a challenge facing many countries around the world. It's a challenge that many cities face and the tourism industry faces and many businesses face this challenge of what to do with their waste. And it's something that, we had a really good handle on, and then the challenge changed. And so all of a sudden we had to adapt to that. And I think that's what's, interesting intellectually about sustainability. It's what makes it very challenging to solve many of these social and environmental policies and problems. But mm-hmm. I think it also shows the importance of just a lot of creativity and hard-headed perseverance.
In trying to find the solution, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what does working from your happy place mean to you? It's kind of our signature question of the show.
It's a great question. Working from your happy place to me means that every day has some new adventure to it, that no day is, it's not exactly the same as the day before. There's new challenges. There's new things to be excited about, and really just feeling like it's not work at all. It's something, working to protect the environment for me is a passion. It's something I feel like I'm contributing to a higher cause or a bigger cause. And so my happy place has become trying to help protect our planet. And so it really doesn't feel like work for me. It's a lot of days it's really just problem solving and looking for creative solutions to some of these challenges. And, no day looks the same. Some days we're working with endangered hawk species. Some days we're working with garbage. Some days we're working with protecting the coral reefs in the Punta Cana area. So every day is something different. And I think that's what keeps it exciting.
Oh, that's great. So let's talk to our listeners. And what can the average person do if they want to start to increase their own footprint in sustainability? Or what are some things, what advice would you give to people that would like to contribute or make a difference but don't know where to start?
I talk to a lot of businesses that are in this same boat, and one of the reasons I wrote a book about my experiences in sustainability, it's called Waking the Sleeping Giant. The whole idea was to share this experience that we've had, and particularly sharing the failures and successes, not just sharing the good stuff, but really, showing that this is not a slam dunk. Figuring out sustainability, it's a grind. It's hard to do, and it takes a lot of perseverance, and you're gonna fail quite a bit, but you got to keep at it. And I think that's good advice really for any entrepreneur, is to fail fast forward. Get started, start moving. You probably have a really good idea, or you think you have a really good idea, but in practice it might require changing, modifying, adapting, evolving. And I think you won't find that out until you get moving. You have to really escape this idea of, being, it's overanalyzing every problem, and, the saying of suffering from paralysis from analysis. These challenges are not going away. And so we really need to get moving, and we need companies to step up and do things. And we need individuals to push these companies. So I think you know, my advice is to really just get started. So don't be afraid. You know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw up. You're going to fail in certain times. And if you keep at it, you'll figure it out.
So what are some new and exciting things you're working on right now that you think our listeners would find interesting?
Well, something that fascinates me that we're working on in our company, Grupo Punta Cana, and with many partners here locally and internationally is coral reef conservation, coral reef protection, and more recently, coral reef restoration. You know, in the cases where the coral reef locally is degraded, we've been now actively working on restoring it. And, you know, we grow corals now in underwater nurseries, and we've been doing so for over 15 years of certain species that we then can transplant back onto the reef at the same time that we're trying to improve local conditions so that these corals survive. And now we've moved into diversifying the different species of corals we work with and the ways that we grow them. You know, so if you think about agriculture or you think about, you know, reforestation on land, you know, these are sciences that have been around for a long time, and there's a lot of advancement. There's been a lot of investment in how to improve agriculture, how to improve the way, you know, we reforest areas and forestry science. Coral reefs, we're relatively new at this, and we're learning as we go, and it's incredibly necessary work. Coral reefs are highly endangered, highly at risk, and incredibly important habitats and ecosystems, and so we're a part of a growing field of cutting edge research on how do we conserve coral reefs and how do we actively restore them by growing them and transplanting them back onto the reef. So it's something, you know, I'm very excited about. I wish we didn't have to do it. I wish the coral reefs were in perfect condition and we could just go out and dive on them every day and not have to think about saving them. But it's our reality. It's where we are. And I think there's a big future in trying to really save these habitats.
Well, that sounds amazing and certainly something that I know has been a concern. I've read quite a bit about it too. So that's amazing. And it has to be exciting to start seeing something that you're working on, like really come to fruition.
And it's also an area, you know, I am a generalist, so I'm not an expert in corals or in marine biology. So as we have, engage new partners and gotten involved with different organizations and experts, I'm constantly learning new things. And I feel like that's going back to my happy place, you know, being able to work on something you're passionate about and at the same time, constantly learning new things and really expanding your own knowledge of, you know, these very complex natural ecosystems is an exciting place to be. So for me, you know, I'm worried about the corals, but I'm also fascinated by them and happy to be trying to do a small part in helping protect them.
Well, that's awesome. Jake, this has been a absolute fascinating interview, and I personally want to just thank you for all the work that you're doing. It's anything that anyone can do to help protect our environment and make people more aware of it and what their part is, I think is just an incredible place to be right now because it's so needed. So thank you for that work. And I'm glad there's people like yourself that's what makes them happy.
Well, thank you so much. And hopefully for your listeners, if they're younger listeners, you know, you don't have to be an expert to get involved in sustainability and helping confront some of these challenges. Hopefully, you know, all of future fields and professions, sustainability will just be built into them. You know, that would be our ultimate goal is that, you know, if you're an architect or an engineer or a school teacher or a college professor, that sustainability is just something we have ingrained in these professions. And so you wouldn't need me anymore.
There you go. Well, I know that it's something in my daughter, even in learning in just in her elementary school, it's just something they talk about every single day. So she's always talking to us about it on a constant basis. So I think with a younger generation, we're going to start to see that become more of a reality on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think so. And I think this younger generation is being exposed much earlier to some of the challenges we face and the seriousness of these challenges at an age when they you know feel passionate that they can do something about it. So I think it's far more common than when I was coming out of you know college and even you know grad school that people are just putting all of their efforts into activism and into solving some of these major environmental issues.
Great. Well, once again, thanks, Jake. And to our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in today. And so, Jake, why don't you tell our listeners, where can they learn more about some of the work that you're doing?
So you can check out some of the work we're doing with the foundation from my website, jakekeel.com. The book that's just been published, Waking the Sleeping Giant, is now available on Amazon. And we are quite active on our main platform is Instagram for the Grupo Punta Cana Foundation. So it's Fundación Grupo Punta Cana. And so you can find it there.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We'd love it if you'd leave a review or even more importantly, share this with a friend. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And we really appreciate you following Work From Your Happy Place. Until next time, I hope you will continue to work from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.